Hello everybody, so I'm George from Ireland, welcome to my channel. Anyway, so in this video I'm pondering how likely is it that Ukraine will collapse this year in 2024, because the situation is critical and the Ukraine has been saying this for a while. Now to some extent it was rhetorical at the beginning just to really encourage the United States and other countries to donate weaponry and money to the Ukrainians, but they're not bluffing anymore. Because they're just so desperately short of these things that the Russians are advancing, not very far, not very fast to begin with. But bear in mind, spring is almost over because, okay, winter comes, winter finishes, there's a thaw, so much water around is very, very muddy, but it's starting to dry out. Is getting towards ideal conditions for a Russian offensive. This time last year, when the Russians only just managed to take Bakhmut, then there was much hype about the Ukrainian counteroffensive, which, as we know, was a damp squib. Nobody's even talking about a Ukrainian counteroffensive in the summer of 2024. Just hanging on where they are now would be a major achievement for Ukraine. So they are severely short of shells. That they're saying that they're firing only one for every 10 the Russians fire. Admittedly, they tend to be more accurate ones. So the gap is not as quite as huge as that, but it's still very bad. One Ukrainian general said that they're outnumbered in terms of troops 7-1. And most Western analysts think that's a major exaggeration. So it's a very worrying situation for the Ukrainians. Those F-16 planes, they've been waiting for those for almost a year. They're meant to be operational this summer. Now, I do read Ukrainian government information, or maybe disinformation sometimes, and it's got these fantastic figures of all the enemy troops they've killed, of all the planes they've shot down, of all the tanks they've destroyed, stuff like that, but probably majorly inflated. And a US Air Force general said the other day that 90% of the Russian Air Force is still there, that you mustn't believe these figures. And yes, the Ukrainians, they've destroyed some enemy aircraft, but nowhere near as many as they pretend. Obviously, the Russians are lying through their teeth as well about supposedly the mighty strokes of war they delivered against the Ukrainians and all the Ukrainians they've slain and all the equipment that they've laid waste to and so on. They're moving forward slowly, but that might speed up. At some point, Ukrainian morale might collapse. The Verkhovna Rada finally passed this conscription bill. This is waiting for Zelensky's signature. He's surely going to sign it, making more men eligible for call-up, saying that males aged 18 to 60 have to carry their draft card with them at all times. And if you don't respond to your draft summons, you know, your driving license will be cancelled. What else? At least a register of Ukrainian men of military age abroad. Ukraine has no way to make them come to actually draft them. Instead, you're drafted. The unenforceability of that would mean it's worthless. And some countries where they're resident Ukrainians abroad said, we won't cooperate. We won't arrest them and send them back. Well, if you want Ukraine to win, you need to do that. I know it's easy for me to say. I'm not in the firing line. I do feel very sorry for them. You know, I'm a complete caitiff too. I don't want to get killed. I don't want to get wounded. I don't want to get captured and tortured. I don't want to see it happen to other people. And quite apart from all the danger, there's just the unpleasantness of being soaked to the skin, freezing in a trench, filthy, not able to wash for weeks, eating whatever stale, cold food, maybe no food at all, while they're rotting corpses out there being nibbled by rats and maggots and the stench of death, the horror. Even if nobody's going to get killed, I still wouldn't want that. So if I was a Ukrainian man, would I run away? Would I desert? Maybe I would. I'm not going to pretend I'm valiant. It's very, very easy for people like me sitting safe at home to say, well, I would be gallant and I would put my life on the line. Anyway, the manpower shortage is still there. And the Verkhovna Rada, as the Ukrainian parliament, they wouldn't pass this clause saying those who've served 3 years or more, they can have a break. Because some of them hadn't had leave for 3 years. Some were conscripted even before the war. But the Ukrainians aren't doing this because they need every man that they can get and a woman. Women are volunteers. They're not conscripted. More women have started volunteering because there's just such a shortage of males willing to do so. The other one is if you let these people go on leave, they might never come back. They'll go into hiding. They'll skip the country, something like that. That's why they dare not do so. But one of their big flaws is why they're not conscripting 18-year-olds, only conscripting the age of 25. One thing they could also do is conscript women, even not to the combat roles, do something in the armed forces, or indeed, if not the armed forces, say other sectors of the economy where you're needed to free up a man to go, something like that. So they're not harnessing their people power as much as they could do. It's to a large extent the fault of Mike Johnson and certainly Republicans in the United States House of Representatives. This $61 billion aid package has been there for almost half a year. So he's Putin's greatest ally. And if it hadn't been for that, the Ukrainians would probably be still holding Avdiivka. And the astonishing thing is how well the Ukrainians have done in the absence of that. If this is how well they can do without the $61 billion package, imagine how well they'd do if they had it. So I've long said I think it will be passed, and Mike Johnson saying turn it into a loan. But again, it's going to be too little too late. I thought it'd be passed by now. Will it be May? Will it be June? I don't know. But it won't be the whole $61 billion. And obviously, the 7th of October attacks and the Gaza conflict, that has actually played into Putin's hands. The United States is distracted, giving money and arms to Israel, keeping some for itself in case they get dragged into a Middle Eastern conflict. And those drone and missile attacks on the state of Israel by the Islamic Republic of Iran the other day, where the United States and the United Kingdom intervened to shoot some of them down, raises the risk that the USA, or maybe even the United Kingdom, be drawn into a war against Iran. Say, well, you're going to have to keep all these assets for ourselves. We cannot afford to be donating them to the Ukrainians. So this lack of benefactions means the Ukrainian military is starved. So anyway, Putin will be licking his lips in glee. His bloodthirstiness may always be sated. So it was always very worrying. Anyway, so that's why no doubt he encouraged the Iranians to do so, because obviously it redounds to his advantage. So it's very dispiriting for the Ukrainians. Can they really afford to go on paying this sort of price for this sort of gain, not even gain, being pushed back? They're building their defensive lives in line. People say it's just not good enough. It's not deep enough. They don't have enough landmines and so on. Most Western countries, not the United States, stopped producing landmines in the late 90s. Thanks very much for Princess Diana. And that's leaving people like the Ukrainians really denuded and vulnerable. Because they say, like in the Korean Peninsula, they save lives because people can't go forward and backward across that ceasefire line. And the Russians really blunted the Ukrainian counteroffensive by having very, very densely sown minefield all across the Sorovikin line. And the Ukrainians, they don't know where the Russians are going to attack. The line is so big, the front line, they can't build defenses everywhere. The Ukrainians was obvious, and they more or less announced it, that we're going to go south of the Sea of Azov and try and break the land corridor. And they manifestly failed to do so, only got about a tenth of the way. So obviously you need anti-tank ditches and everything else as well, whatever, machine gun nests and all these layers of barbed wire. So the Russian counteroffensive is really worrying. They are producing shells and tanks and so on like crazy. And they can keep this going economically to about 2027, despite more sanctions today, or was on Friday, by the United States and the UK on Russian aluminium, and I can't remember which other metals they were. So it's all very dispiriting. They could break through. What chances is that they're going to get to Kyiv by the end of 2024? I give that 30% chance. To take the whole country, I think they give about a 10% chance. But they're certainly moving forward. It is worrying for Ukraine. The wild card factor is what military help actually comes to the Ukrainians in terms of more weaponry. President Macron of France, he was a bit of a dove earlier, even talked about sending French troops there. A former British Armed Forces Minister, James Heapy, said about sending British troops there, not to actually fight, only to train them. But wait a second, but then they can be targeted, because they're not going to be targeted if they go abroad. So it's very worrying. Anyway, please make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.